Our Man at Wembley by Bill Matthews, Episode 4. The year is 1947. Our hero, Eric Halliday, is a working-class Lancastrian, yet has managed to get a job in radio through his perfect imitation of a BBC accent. Despite his secret double life and the disapproval of his sister Dora, everything seems to be going right for Eric. He's become the country's number one football commentator and won the heart of the lovely Chantal, both at the expense of deadly rival Gordon Mackay. But is Mackay about to wreak his revenge?
It's all right, Halliday. We're outside Broadcasting House now. We can drop the pretense.
What pretense?
The voice, Halliday. The accent. I mean, nobody really speaks like this in real life.
I don't.
Well, take me, for instance. This is how I really talk. I learned how to speak in my broadcasting voice only after I came to London. Most of the BBC commentators and announcers talk completely differently when they're outside of work. Surely you must be the same, eh?
Oh, well, it's a relief to learn I'm not the only one. I come from Lancashire originally.
I know. And you're an even bigger buffoon than I took you for, Halliday.
What? But I thought you just said you changed your accent only after you moved to London.
I did, Halliday. When I was 8.
Oh, my God, what have I done?
I could tell the Major of your deception, but I think you might prefer to take the more honourable course yourself.
You want me to commit suicide?
I can't claim I would be heartbroken, Halliday, but I was thinking more along the lines of you coming clean to Major Short Jones, tendering your resignation and getting out of my life for good.
And if I don't?
You should be grateful that I've had the decency to offer you this chance. I'll give you 2 days. If you haven't told him by then, you know what will happen.
So how did you find out that I'm northern?
And working class, Halliday. Oh. Don't forget the working class part. That's absolutely vital. The knowledge cost me a weekend in Paris with a secretary from personnel who now thinks I want to marry her. But it was worth it. You were too dim to lie on your personnel forms. Your birthplace was one giveaway, your parents' forenames the other.
My parents?
Albert and Doris. Not exactly Gwendolyn and Sebastian, is it?
I could have been nouveau riche.
I took the chance. You've ruined my life, Halliday. You stole the job that I loved. You stole the woman that I was very fond of. I may not get the job back. I may not get her back. But at least I can get you back.
Oh, let it be Michael. Let it be Michael.
Chiswick 4631.
Damn.
Who is this?
Hello, Dora. It's Eric.
Oh. Still calling yourself that, are you? I was half expecting you to insist on us calling you Rupert.
No, I'm sorry, Dora. Something pretty bad has happened at work. Can I talk to Michael?
Pity you can't talk to your own sister about your problems.
Yes, it is, Dora. A real pity. But you're about to get your wish. It looks like I'm going to lose me job. And the sound of rejoicing is not something I want to hear right now.
Oh, Eric, I am sorry to hear that.
I only wish that were true.
It is, Eric, believe me.
Come. Ah, there you are, Halliday. Come in. Sit down.
Thank you, Major.
Now, this isn't anything too formal, but your initial 6 months are up, and we need to have a little confab about where we go from here.
Yes, well, there's something I feel...
I'm absolutely delighted with the progress you've made in a relatively short time. Your commentaries have become clearer, more informative, and above all, how shall I put it, quick.
Thank you, Major.
You brought a much-needed new voice to this department, which had become, I'm sure they wouldn't mind me saying this, but clogged up with a lot of stuffy old bores. Well, actually, they'd probably mind me saying that a great deal. Well, never mind. In a nutshell, Halliday, I want you as a permanent member of my staff.
Permanent?
Your face, Halliday! Yes, permanent.
So I can't be sacked now?
Well, there never was much chance of that.
I wouldn't be too sure.
I'm sorry?
I said I wasn't too sure.
Well, congratulations, old man. You deserve it.
Yes, well, thank you very much, Major. Is there anything I can sign now?
Oh, be patient, Halliday. I'll have Chantal type up a standard contract.
Major?
Yes, Halliday?
Well, I... you see, what I wanted to say was that I'm very grateful to you.
Oh, nonsense. Now, off you go.
Well, go on, then.
Right.
Eric, are you all right? Did you tell him?
He offered me a place on the permanent staff, Chantal.
That's wonderful news. So you told him?
Well, no. It never really came up.
Oh, Eric.
I would have done, honestly, but I couldn't find a way to, you know, steer the conversation round to that particular topic.
He's here, you know.
Who, Mackay?
He asked where you were.
Blast it.
I'll hold the Major's call, shall I?
Oh, well, at least I've set a record. The shortest permanent job in history.
Halliday, what are you doing here? I thought you would have skulked out of one of Broadcasting House's numerous back entrances by now.
No. I'm about to go and see the Major now, actually.
How were any of us fooled by that atrocious accent? Only a proletarian really? Would think that was the way we speak. Don't worry, Halliday. The Major may take pity on you. Perhaps he'll offer you a job in... television.
I'd rather die. Or at least go back to being an accountancy clerk.
As if there was any difference.
Right. Here goes.
Come. Halliday. Was there something else?
Yes, Major, I'm afraid there was.
Well?
I'm afraid I won't be able to accept your kind offer.
Oh? Why the deuce not?
Well, you see, the thing is, I don't really know how to put this. You know when you first heard me speak in that pub in Chiswick? That wasn't my real voice.
Well, so whose was it?
I was putting it on, Major. You see, the truth is, the crux of the matter, the nub of it all, is I'm working class.
Oh, I know that.
And what's more, I'm northern. What did you say?
Well, I've known all along. I mean, you can't imitate breeding, old man. And besides, what would a blue-blooded chap be doing in a common drinking establishment in Chiswick High Road? And anyway, I've read your personnel file. But let's keep it as our little secret, huh? I won't tell a soul.
So why haven't you said anything before?
Well, I didn't want it to get out. I thought the fewer people who knew, the better.
I still don't understand.
Well, look, as you know, Halliday, I've had a bit of a bee in my bonnet for some time about new men for a new age. Mm-hmm. To me, this means bringing in good people from a wider social background than we did before. Now, Britain, it seems, isn't ready for provincial voices on the BBC. And I wonder if it ever will be. Mm. So, when I met you, and you could do the voice, I thought, why not let him loose?
What can I say, Major? I'm so very...
Well, the less said, the better. Well, I mean, it's worked so far, hasn't it?
Yes, yes. Except that Mackay now knows.
Oh, does he? Well, then I'd better have a word with him. If you see him, send him along to me, would you?
Yes, Major.
And then hopefully we can forget all about this and, go on from there.
So, did Halliday confess, Major?
What would he have to confess?
Well, that he's a commoner, of low birth, a plebeian, a prole, one of the great unwashed.
I already knew of his background, Mackay.
You already knew?
I don't want news of Halliday's origins getting out. Do you hear, Mackay? If anyone finds out, I will hold you personally responsible. And then I will ensure you face the ultimate sanction.
Oh, not that.
Yes, Mackay, a job in television.
I'll stay silent, Major. I promise.
Good. Perhaps if you'd concentrated more on your own career and less on trying to blight another man's, your standards wouldn't have slipped so alarmingly in the past few months.
Oh, but my
times have moved on, but you haven't, Mackay. However, if Halliday deserves a chance, then perhaps you do too. I'm going to put you back on football duties.
Oh, thank you, sir.
I want you to be Eric Halliday's number two.
Number two?
Well, this is nice.
Very nice.
I'm so glad to finally meet you, Mrs. Simpson.
Well, it was about time. Whatever our differences, Eric and I are still family.
So, Chantel, is it awkward working with what are you, Eric?
I'm her beau.
Very French.
We don't see very much of each other at work.
Nor outside work at the moment. Eric is always in Bolton or Leeds or Birmingham or Blackburn doing his football commentaries. I'm looking forward to the end of the season.
Just over a year ago, who could have believed that you would be commentating on the FA Cup final at Wembley? Although that's not nearly as amazing as Blackpool reaching the final, of course.
Hey, get off.
So, how are you getting on with Gordon Mackay these days?
Very hard to tell. Apart from when we're on air together, he hasn't spoken a single word to me in 6 months.
Could that be a sign you're not getting on, then?
Do you really think so? Hey, I'll tell you the other thing about him. He drinks.
Yeah. I can't believe it. Yeah.
So, tell me, Mrs. Simpson, how is the shop doing these days?
Well, luckily for us, no one seems content to boil the water on the stove or toast their bread under the grill anymore.
It may be indicative of malaise and sloth in the modern household, but, hey, at least it's good for business.
The help Eric gave you must have come at just the right time.
What help?
You know, the half an hour that January when I looked after the shop. How can you have forgotten?
What help, Chantal?
I'm sorry, I thought you knew. I cannot interfere.
Dora, we were days away from our closing down sale. We couldn't pay our monthly instalments and the bank threatened to call in the loan.
But you said we had enough money to cover it.
Because Eric lent it to us.
You fool!
He helped us with the payments for a few months and put up money for the new stock. I'm sorry I couldn't tell you.
Dora, if you'd known, would you have accepted the money?
No.
And are you so proud that you'd rather go bankrupt than accept a loan from your brother?
I suppose you want me to thank you.
No, I didn't do it for that.
Well, thank you anyway.
You're more than welcome.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Empire Stadium, Wembley, on the 25th anniversary of the first FA Cup final to be played in this magnificent arena. The two teams, Manchester United and Blackpool, are currently out on the pitch, warming up. As I look around me, there's not a space to be seen in the entire stadium. It's now time for me to introduce the man who will guide you through the events of the afternoon in what is his first FA Cup final as match commentator. We can only hope that he doesn't find the immensity of this occasion and the thought that millions of people at home and all over the world are hanging on his every word too overwhelming. So now, over to match commentator Eric Halliday.
Thank you, Gordon. Good afternoon to everybody listening on the Light Programme and on the World Service in all five
Dora,
continents.
Shouldn't we turn off the radio? Your Eric's on. I'm sorry, young elf. There'll be no cup final for you today.
Oh, leave it on, see if I care.
Thanks, love.
Come on, Blackpool, come on, Blackpool.
Hey, I thought you were a Burnley fan.
Don't you know anything? That was last year.
You watch. If Manchester United win, you'll be supporting them next season.
Oh, never.
Oh, you're a typical southerner, elf.
One thing you can say about Eric, he started out as a Blackpool fan and he's stuck with them.
And the 67th FA Cup final is underway as Blackpool kick off. They're taking the girl to my left, and straight away the ball has gone into touch. And the ball is played through to Mortensen. He's got a clear run on goal. He should score, but he's been tripped.
Goal!
Chilton simply took his legs out from under him. Now, was that inside or outside the area? The referee is pointing to the spot. It's a penalty.
That was a difficult one for the referee, but I really do believe that Chilton fouled him outside the penalty area, and he should have given a free kick.
Well, it looked like a clear penalty to me. Now, Shimwell steps up to take it. Crompton goes the wrong way. 1-0 to Blackpool. With just 12 minutes on the clock, Blackpool take a deserved lead. And let's just hope that they can cling on to this now for the remaining 78 minutes of this match. Manchester on the attack now, down this left flank.
Oh, we should be winning 10-0. Manchester United useless.
Who do you want to win, Dora?
Well, they're both Lancashire teams, so I'm supporting both of them.
And the Mum
seems to be somehow stuck in the Blackpool penalty area. Why can't someone just belt it away? It falls to Rowley, who has scored.
Oh, no!
Manchester are level. What a calamity in the Blackpool defence.
Oh, come on, Blackpool! Useless!
See how quickly he turns?
I can't help thinking that Eric got a bit more excited when Blackpool scored.
Well, he's a Blackpool fan.
I know that, Michael, but this is the BBC. Isn't he supposed to be impartial?
I'm sure you wouldn't notice any difference unless you knew to look out for it.
Just hope you're right.
And so, with a minute to go until half-time, the score is locked at 1-1. Blackpool have perhaps one more chance before the interval as they advance down the right with Matthews. Matthews once more turns the defender and sends in a hopeful ball into the box, but it falls to the Manchester pivot, Chilton. But no, Mortensen has it. He shoots, and yes! We've scored! We've scored! What a fantastic goal there! Yes! Mortensen! Oh, what... Blackpool have scored with a fine opportunistic strike there from Mortensen, I believe. Over to you, Gordon.
Well, I can quite honestly say that in all my years of broadcasting that I've never witnessed such a scene. Such a shameful spectacle. As a BBC commentator revealing his own allegiances on air...
Well, I was rather hoping you were going to give your opinion of the goal, Gordon, as the referee now blows for half-time and the players make their way off towards the tunnel. But I really feel I must take this moment to apologise most sincerely to the listeners at home for inadvertently revealing my true colours. I must confess that I have been a Blackpool supporter all of my life.
Perhaps there's more that you'd like to confess, Eric?
No, thank you, Gordon. Now I will hand you over to Gordon Mackay for his half-time analysis.
Perhaps you'd like to reveal that the reason you are a Blackpool supporter is that you are from Lancashire.
I think the listeners might have worked that out for themselves, Gordon. You wouldn't find many Blackpool or indeed Manchester United fans hailing from outside the Lancashire area.
Yeah, but what the listeners might not realise is that you are a fake, a charlatan, a cheat and an imposter. It is my sad duty to announce that Eric Halliday is in actual fact... working class.
I really don't.
Perhaps
think
you'd
that
like to come clean and reveal to the people how you really speak. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the accent is fake too. Come on, Halliday, let's hear that dreadful accent.
And I'm afraid that due to unforeseen
circumstances... No, not that one, your real one.
We must now return to the studio in Broadcasting House. Hopefully we will be back with you for the second half.
Well, that's it, Halliday. You're finished.
Yes, I suppose I am.
I'm so delighted that I could be part of it. Yeah. Now, why don't you clear off and let me take over for the rest of the match?
No, I'm going to finish this commentary, even if it turns out to be my last.
Hello, Chantal Deschamps speaking.
Chantal, it's Eric. Have you been listening to the match?
No, I was reading. Shouldn't you be on air right now?
Look, I think you might want to listen to the second half. Can you meet me at Broadcasting House after the game? Say at 5:30.
Okay, but why?
There's something I'd like you to help me with.
Of course I will, but what?
I must go. See you very soon.
Association football should Dad, not be confused.
What's happening?
Football,
I wish I knew.
Well, is Uncle Eric coming back for the second half? We'll just have to wait and find out.
Soccer. We are now ready to return to the Empire Stadium and the final of the Football Association Cup.
Manchester United kick off. Oh. Now attacking the goal to my left.
What are you doing, you idiot?
The ball is with Anderson, who passes inside to Pearson. He's tackled by Edward, who earns Blackpool's first touch of the half.
Are you hearing what I'm hearing, Michael?
I think so.
Forces him.
I never ever thought I would live to hear that accent coming out of a radio set. And to think that the voice belongs to my own brother. I don't believe I've ever felt so proud.
I know, love. But with another 45 minutes to go, this could be a very long resignation speech.
So, with 11 minutes left on the clock, the score is 2-2. Now are we heading for extra time for the second year running? Blackpool try again to get the ball to Matthews, but again the ball is blocked. And Manchester move forward in numbers once more, but it falls to Johnson, through to Mortensen. Mortensen shoots, and what a fine save there by Crompton. That looked a goal all the way. Crompton clears up to Anderson, who runs now completely unchallenged, 20 yards before passing to the Manchester inside left, Pearson. Pearson, he can't shoot from there, can he? Can he? Doesn't he score? That went in off the post from nearly 30 yards. Robinson was left clutching at her. Manchester United 3, Blackpool 2. From the edge of triumph to the edge of despair, all in 10 seconds for Blackpool. Moments earlier, they'd almost taken the lead, yet they could be now 10 minutes away from collecting their losers' medals. Now over to Gordon Mackay for his thoughts on that goal. Gordon? Gordon?
Eric, there you are.
Chantal, thank you for coming.
Hey.
What happened, Eric? Why were you commentating in your dialect?
You know that the Major made Gordon Mackay promise that he wouldn't reveal my real background to a single man, woman or child.
Yes.
Well, he didn't. He revealed it to 100 million men, women and children on air.
Oh, Eric, I'm so sorry.
Oh, I'll be all right. How many people have a chance to live out their dream, even if it's only for 1 year?
Oh.
Would you mind taking a letter, Mademoiselle Deschamps?
Why, what are you doing?
Taking what Mackay would call the honourable course. Are you ready?
Okay.
Dear Major Shaw Jones, it is with deep regret that I offer my resignation as a member of the Outside Broadcasting Department. Now that my social standing...
You can stop that, Halliday. Can I have a look, Chantal?
Certainly.
Squiggle, squiggle, semiquaver, triangulation point, youth hostel. Does that say what I think it says?
I'm really not sure. I think it's my resignation.
Which this time I will accept with great reluctance, Halliday. Shall I take this?
But, Major, I haven't typed it up yet.
Oh, no need. I'm sorry to lose you, Halliday. You were on your way to being a damn fine commentator.
Thank you.
Even with that peculiar provincial accent of yours.
Hello? Anybody on? Cooey? Anyone in here? No. No one in the kitchen. Oh, well, what I know, I'm coming.
Surprise! It's lovely to have you home, Eric. I'm so proud of you.
Oh, thank you, Dora.
Come here, Eric. Here, get that down, you mate.
Thanks.
Your room's just as you left it.
Oh, dear. I must go and tidy. thanks, everyone. This is an amazing welcome. I feel like I've been demobbed all over again.
I would have got out the bunting, but then I realised I don't know what bunting is.
Yeah, Uncle Eric, I'm right proud of you that I am.
Alf, I think that's going a bit far.
Yeah, but our mum, everybody's talking about our Uncle Eric.
It's true. Have you seen the Sunday papers?
Aye, some of them.
We bought them all. Oh. The Sunday Express. From Toff to Tuff in 10 minutes. Sunday People. Sensation. BBC man confesses on air. I'm no knob.
Yeah.
Then, of course, the news of the world. Vicar in sordid satanic love tryst.
Michael.
And the Sunday Times. Wireless commentator admits to millions that he is from a working class background and then continues broadcasting in a Lancashire accent.
Mm, very snappy.
And the Sunday Mirror. Oh, no. Yeah, you don't want to see
Let
that
Let me look. Has hapless Halliday had his day? Well, the answer would appear to be yes.
None of them seem to know yet that you've resigned.
Nor will they care. I'll be old news by the time that comes out.
Oh, not again.
Well, answer it. You know it's for you.
Hello, Eric Halliday speaking. Well, that's very kind of you. But I wish I could, but I don't think the BBC would allow me. Well, that's very good to hear. Goodbye. He says I should be allowed to commentate in whatever accent I like. And he's starting a Bring Back Eric campaign.
Not another one. Mm. There's already Mrs. Hobday next door, my cousin Harold, the haberdashers in the high road. Oh, and the News Chronicle, the Daily Worker, the Morning Star, and, apparently, the Daily Telegraph.
Yeah?
The Telegraph?
This writer vouchsafes that Mr. Halliday has a pleasing timbre and broadcasts exceptionally well for a member of the lower orders.
What a lovely thing to say. Oh, I think.
Thanks for agreeing to meet me at my club, Shaw Jones.
No problem, Director General. This is my club too.
Must be dashed inconvenient for you. Shaw Jones, I'm very concerned about this appalling Eric Halliday business.
Yes, Director General.
The tide of public opinion, or is it a wave of public opinion?
A tidal wave of public opinion?
Yes, that'll do. Anyway, it all appears to be flowing in Halliday's direction. It's imperative that we must not be seen to bow to pressure. We cannot be held to ransom. We must stand firm.
Absolutely, Director General.
It would be the thin end of the wedge, giving in to mob rule, the beginning of the end, the day the BBC pays any attention to public opinion. What are we going to do next? Hold surveys to decide what our programme should be?
Never, DG.
No. We must stick to our principles or die.
I quite agree, DG.
Get Halliday back, would you, dear chap? There's a good fellow.
Well, despite the opprobrium that you have brought upon this department and your unprofessional behaviour during the cup final, I don't want to see you left out in the cold. I mean, you still have a potentially important role to play, and one where your broadcasting skills can be brought to the fore. I hear there are plenty of excellent opportunities to be found in television.
Television? Oh, no. Not that, Major. Anything but that.
I'm not so mean-spirited, Mackay, that I would leave you without a choice.
Oh, thank you, Major.
It's either that or resign.
I'll take the job.
Good man. I have felt for some time that television is more suited to your unhurried and leisurely speaking style. And besides, if you make a mistake, it doesn't matter. Nobody's watching. Come! Ah, Halliday. Glad to see you.
Hello, Major. Mackay?
We'll sort out the finer details later, Mackay.
I thought we'd seen the last of him.
Thank you, Mackay. Slam the door on your way out, will you? Oh, well, he was going to anyway. Now, Halliday, what are we going to do with you?
Nothing. I've already tendered my resignation.
Yes, but it was gobbledygook. I mean, I couldn't make head nor tail of it. Halliday, I want you to come back, but only on one condition.
I'm sorry, Major, it's too late. I won't go back to talking in a BBC voice.
Will you let me finish, man? I want you back on one condition. That you commentate in your natural accent.
And the White City crowd is hushed, expectant, waiting for the start of the Olympic 100 metres final for women. The race favourite, and in fact everybody's favourite, the Dutch woman, Fanny Blankers-Koen, is crouched, waiting for the starter's gun. And beside her there is Britain's own hope, Dorothy Manley. They're away. And first to show is Fanny Blankers-Koen with Manley trying to stay with her, but it's Blankers-Koen increasing her lead, and it looks like there's only going to be one winner here, with Manley and Strickland fighting for silver and bronze. Blankers-Koen is the winner by 3 or 4 yards there, and it's silver for Britain and Dorothy Manley. Bronze goes to Australia's Shirley Strickland, but there was only one woman who was ever going to win that race, Amsterdam's most famous mother of two, Fanny Blankers-Koen, and she and her husband and coach Jan must be feeling over the moon at the moment. And, well, it's time now to return to the studio in Broadcasting House. So, from me, Eric Halliday, it's goodbye.
In Our Man at Wembley, you heard Alistair McGowan as Eric, John Glover as Mackay, Melanie Hudson as Chantal, and Jeremy Child as Major Shaw Jones. John Salthouse was Michael, Jane Whittenshaw Dora, and Dax O'Callaghan Elf. Our Man at Wembley was written by Bill Matthews and directed by Sally Avers.